God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about the conditions of guidance. We've talked about the first three conditions of guidance, as I understand them from God's Word. And if you're one of those people who feels that your own wisdom is not really quite enough to make the decisions that you have to make day by day, then maybe you need to think about the conditions of getting guidance from God. First of all, you must recognize who He is, and we know who God is through coming to Jesus. You come to Him in simplicity. Secondly, you believe what He says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thirdly, you start doing what He says. Now, that doesn't just mean the Ten Commandments, as I tried to point out in my last talk. The Ten Commandments is a very big order, and they do cover just about all the principles involved in getting along with other people and in being a child of God. But it comes right down to very mundane, very simple little things, doesn't it? This matter of obedience. And the fourth condition that I want to talk about today is taking up the cross. We might say that those two things go together, obedience and taking up the cross, but there is a sense in which I think that that phrase, take up the cross and follow me, is a very deliberate, specific act of acceptance. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must give up his right to himself and take up his cross and follow me. Giving up your right to yourself is a pretty tough exercise, and it's not something that ever becomes easy for any of us, I don't suppose. And taking up the cross is saying yes to God about whatever it is that God is bringing into your life. It's easy to say yes to the things that we like. It's not easy to say yes to the things we don't like. Now, what is your individual cross? Sometimes people use this phrase to refer to things which they can't avoid. For example, I heard a lady one time say, well, you know, I've got a drunken husband, and we've done everything. We've tried everything. He's gone to AA, and I've gone to Al-Anon, and nothing works, and so I guess that's just my cross. The truth is, of course, she cannot change her husband. She can pray, and she can do all the other things that might help, but if he doesn't change, then it's an unavoidable cross. But what constitutes taking up the cross, I think, is acceptance. She can either go through the rest of her life resentful, or she can accept the fact that this is something that she has to live with. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I don't mean that we accept alcoholism as though it were a good thing. It is a terrible thing. It's destructive and brings all kinds of heartache and sorrow. But there are many things in our lives that cause heartache and sorrow that we can't do anything about. Maybe it's a child, a teenager, who has decided to go the way of the world and destroy his or her own life. What is your response to that? Surely it would be sorrow and heartbreak which would drive you to prayer. But you cannot change that child. You cannot force them to do what you want them to do. And so there is a sense in which in that experience you come to God and say, Lord, I will bear this cross today for your sake, believing that you can make it even a gateway to joy, believing that you can transform this thing for your own purposes in your own time. Each of us has a cross today that nobody else can take up in quite the way that you can. This particular cross that God has chosen for you today, something for you to accept and say, "Yes, Lord," about. A voluntary act of taking it up. But I think that it may very well be prerequisite to God's guidance. He may be saying, "Will you accept this so that I can show you that?" I have a very beloved nephew named Pete. Pete is a concert violinist. He plays with the Knoxville Symphony. But in order to sit in that chair and play that violin with that orchestra, Pete had to learn to deny himself way back when he was about 11 years old, 11 or 12, I think, was when he started studying the violin. And when he came back from the Philippines, where his parents were missionaries, to the States, he was able to take lessons from a very well-known violinist named James Buswell. Now, Pete was delighted to put himself under the tutelage of James Buswell, because James Buswell could play the violin as Pete wanted to learn to play it. But Pete had to deny himself, in other words, give up a whole lot of things that other kids his age were doing, in order to do the one thing that he wanted to do more than anything else. He had to put himself under orders, under the direction of that master violinist, and accept his discipline. It wasn't good enough for him to say, "But Mr. Buswell, I don't like scales. I don't like to do exercises. I want to play classical music." What is it we say to God when he gives us little crosses? Not things which are very dramatic or heroic, but things about which we perhaps have no choice. What about saying to God, "But I don't really like crosses. What I'm looking for is the glory of heaven." And he reminds us that his own son had to go to the cross before he could be given a name which is above every name. He had to become the lamb slain. Maybe you're faced with far greater things than trivialities. Blindness, poverty, senile parents, an irresponsible husband. Such things might be required of anybody, regardless of whether that person ever intends to follow Christ or not. We Christians belong right here in this world where we are right now, and we have exactly the same kinds of trials and temptations to suffer as many other people have. But we have a choice. We can take up this cross for the sake of Jesus Christ. Whatever this thing is which is required of me today, I can take up and say, "Yes, Lord." Have you left undone something that you ought to do? Have you been doing something grudgingly instead of gladly for Christ, caring for those senile parents, perhaps, putting up with the difficulties that your husband's irresponsibility has brought into your life, taking care of a sick wife? Have you been doing it grudgingly? Today you can take up that cross. You can say, "Yes, Lord, this is something I cannot change. It's something I must do." But instead of doing it with very bad grace, I'll do it for you. It might be a gateway to joy. God will not leave you in confusion. Trust him to show you. But if God is saying, "I want you to do the thing which I have told you to do," and you say, "Well, but you haven't told me yet," here's a passage from one of George MacDonald's novels, which I have found very helpful. I remember copying it out one time on a 3x5 card and giving it to my father when I saw that my father was weighed down with the cares of the business that he was in. "The care that is filling your mind at this moment," MacDonald wrote, "or but waiting till you lay the book aside to leap upon you, that need, which is no need, is a demon sucking at the spring of your life." No, mine is a reasonable care, an unavoidable care indeed. Is it something you have to do this very moment? No. Then you are allowing it to usurp the place of something that is required of you this moment. But there is nothing required of me at this moment. Nay, but there is the greatest thing that can be required of man. Pray, what is that? Trust in the living God. I do trust him in spiritual matters. Everything is an affair of the spirit. And here we come to the real heart of the matter, I think. We come to God for guidance in some practical affair, something that we really hadn't thought of as an affair of the spirit. But in his presence, as we pray, we come to see that, in fact, it is exactly that. We come to a loving Father. He looks down in love. We lose our frenzy and anxiety and hurry. We can be quiet before him. And God reveals our heart's directions. We cannot serve two masters. Make up your mind. This decision may bring you back always to the question of whose will you really want. Do you want divine help? Do you want it to do your own will? Or do you want help in doing the will of God? Taking up the cross means sooner or later denying self. It means saying no to a thing to which self says yes, and it means saying yes to God when self would like to say no.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.